You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with episode 164 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it's me, Carrick, with ACG.
I feel like my nose blocked a little bit when I hit the salutations. I was like, I glitched almost. I was like,
salutations.
Yeah, I was like, salutations like that. I was like, salutations. Oh, man. All right. Got that one out. Carrick, how you doing, man?
Absolutely excellent. How about you?
Doing well. Doing well. Got my Spider-Man shake. Got my Spider-Man hoodie. It's a Spidey-Man kind of week with San Diego Comic-Con this past weekend. Or this week, rather, into this weekend as we record the show. And we got a lot to go over, so let's just get... Oh, wait, I forgot our Flick a Buck thing. Holy crap. So, if you want to be a part of the show, you can flick a buck
flick
our
a buck.
Way. Yep, flick a buck! And that'll be patreon.com/MrMattyPlays. If you do so, you get early access to the podcast a couple days in advance. If you don't want to do that, you don't want to flick a buck, then guess what you can do? You can wait till Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Goes live on YouTube, on my channel, Mr. Matty Plays. And you can also listen on the go. Hold on. Pardon me, my protein shake came up on me there. But you can also listen on iTunes and Google Play. I am currently looking into other platforms for mobile listeners as well, because I feel it's very limited. And one thing I learned as someone who listens to a lot of podcasts is iTunes and that podcast app will eat up your fucking memory. Like, I was subscribed to my own show, and I had, obviously it's my own show, I record it, so I don't listen back to it. And... When I looked up on my phone, I went to download Dragon Ball Legends, and they're like, you don't have a lot of memory left. And so I go into my memory, and I find out I got like 25 gigabytes worth of podcasts stocked the fuck up. I was like, okay. So I'm looking out for other platforms. I'm going to look into Spotify. That's where I now listen to most of my podcasts on, and
Podbean
it works very well. Podbean, that's one I'll look into as well. So yeah, we're exploring other options, other guests. All that good stuff.
People understand also, Maddie, that it costs money. Like, at least for me, I don't know if you found a free one, but it's like everywhere
SoundCloud
I host.
SoundCloud costs money. That's what I do for the patrons.
And SoundCloud, to me, was too expensive. Mm-hmm. I found Podbean, which will update iTunes, and it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's funny. It's just a little bit of money, you know, that you're
every
losing
time.
Out
it's
each
like
time.
You're adding a little bit more to your play. That's the thing with YouTube. Yeah. It is, you don't got a boss who just sections up each worker and tells them what to go off and do. You're your own boss, so... You'll take on a million and one tasks and go, holy fuck, this is a lot now when I really look at it. That's why balancing like the Patreon, streaming, YouTube, it's a lot. Anyway, let's get into this week of news, starting off with the new Spider-Man trailer. Looking sexy. Carrick, I know you're especially stoked for this game. In fact, so stoked, you had made a discussion video weeks ago talking about how you think this could be a superhero game that... trumps
saves.
Them all. Yeah, saves.
And I said saves because I was testing out my fucking... what we were talking about prior to the podcast. Like, how do titles affect your... It didn't affect that one, but yeah. Dude, I'm so stoked. I did find... So, is it Gwen Stacy that's in this one?
Mary Jane. Mary Jane.
So, Mary Jane.
Morales.
I apologize. I wasn't listening to the audio. So, she's talking. She's with Miles, and they're doing something. I don't know exactly what was being said. Mm-hmm. Somebody brought it up. I noticed it in the trailer that they changed her look a ton.
Really?
Did you notice? Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
If you look at the old trailers, there's a pretty big change to the way she looks. So I thought that was interesting. But overall, the stuff I saw, I won't say it hits with the same infamous Second Son graphical thing, because that looked so... Like, when you first saw infamous Second Son, you were like, are you
the
fucking...
The particle effects!
Dude! And the shading and lighting. But, they were showing some of the close-ups of the enemies, and they were what's her name? Silver Sable. Silver Sable's in there, and then they were showing, you know, Electro Pants, whatever his fucking name is.
If you're real pantsy, I actually had the name right.
Oh, there we go.
Electro.
I liked his look on his face and everything. Mm-hmm. They just look really cool. It didn't show a lot because it was story, but I like the idea that they sort of said, these are some of the characters. Here's the thing, I have a question for you. The guy says in it, he says distinctly, you are considered a criminal now. If you listen to the voiceover, because this is the part I did hear. He said, you're considered a criminal now, Spider-Man. And I've sent Silver Sable and a couple other people after you or something like that. What exactly do we know if it's in the game that he does something? I'm not understanding why he's suddenly a vigilante.
I think it's funny you mention that because I feel Silver Sable, while I could be wrong for those who have read comics growing up, I am a new comic reader, so I've read admittedly just a lot of the newer Spider-Man comics like Reign, Renew Your Vows, some of the Amazing Spider-Man. So I don't know how popular Silver Sable is. So the first thing I did when I saw this trailer was actually looked her up, and I'll get to answering your question in a second. I think you'll understand where I'm going with it when I start describing through Wikipedia who she is. So it says, she is a mercenary, hunter of war criminals, and the leader of the Wild Pack and owner of Silver Sable International. Although sometimes a legitimate mercenary, her methods and motives have sometimes brought her into conflict with other superheroes. Occasionally, she is seen as an ally of Spider-Man and other heroes. So, my guess is that's part of the story that they don't want to show us yet, is they're hinting that Spider-Man did something that's painting him as a vigilante. Something he obviously didn't do, because we know how these superhero games go. That was one thing that kind of, now that you mention it, kind of ticked me off, because I was just like, okay, that's a little cliched, like, you know, the guy that you're, you know, was always saving you, you know, it's going to start off with Spider-Man 8 years deep, of course. He's a vet. He's like, yep, you know, I think the game, they say, starts off with him taking out Kingpin, so it's going to be this victorious beginning. Spider-Man's on top of his game. Something stupid happens, and now everybody doesn't trust Spider-Man as much, and the game's about gaining that trust back. At least, that's my speculation based off that. Which, like I said, it's a little cliche. But I'm all right with that, because I think the addition of Silver Sable kind of saves that, in a way. Because when I was looking at that description, I thought, wow, you know, that they're bringing in, like, a very niche kind of, I guess we'll call her anti-hero. Because they said, like, sometimes she's an ally, sometimes she's not, I guess. So we'll call her an anti-hero to fit that narrative gap. So I do wonder how it will all play out. But my guess is someone dies. Right. And Spider-Man is framed for that
I
murder.
See. Because maybe he was helping or so, like he was trying to fight the guy and somebody dies on the side.
Exactly. You know, something's like maybe some other villain had come in and perhaps killed someone Spider-Man was fighting and he was, you know, framed for it. I do have a theory that I have to get some information on first real quick. So if you want to give some of your thoughts on
the I have a question for you. So I was watching it and they showed something that they only show it for a second. They're in downtown New York or where. Yeah. And you see a marquee say, keep your distance from, and then it doesn't show the from. And I was like, from who? So what I was wondering is if it ties into Spider-Man, like keep your distance from Spider-Man. My hope is that the game doesn't turn into this, like, I don't mind saving people. We did that, though, and it didn't work in that other one that we bitch about all the time. Fucking that Spider-Man.
Where, Spider-Man too.
Yeah, let's all kill ourselves. That was terrible. So you've got that, and that one you had to save people. I don't mind having to save people. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I'm not 100% Spider-Man's always been about, like, everybody sort of gung-ho for him, and he's like the plucky hero, and I'm not 100% sure I like the idea. If they're putting marquees up that say, like, keep your distance from Spider-Man, again, it didn't say who to keep your distance from. They purposely cut it. Mm-hmm. But I don't really want him to be a fucking, like, social bad guy. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me not wanting the trope of it all, but...
Mm-hmm. One theory I had was... And I should also clarify, while I've paid attention to all the trailers and I've tried to do my research on this game, there are certain aspects I've media blacked out on just sake of, you know, certain comics that I've just tried to avoid just to make sure that I kind of experience the story in a fresh way. I always try to do that for games, whether I'm excited for them or I'm about them. Yeah, I try to give it a fair shot. But one theory I did have was... It's clear a lot of the villains are from the Sinister Six, but you don't see all six of them in that one part where...
It sort of shows each villain.
The prison one, where, like, he's fighting five villains at once, but there's just one missing. And there is one point where someone's about to come in, and I don't know if save Spider-Man or whatever, and he looks up and he's like, you, and yeah. The trailer ends. We don't know if that's like that sixth member. And my thought is maybe the reason this is all happening is perhaps one of the Sinister Six had died. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just spitballing here based off my rusty memory from an E3 trailer. But I do remember specifically noticing like one of the members of Sinister Six was missing. So I thought, imagine if, you know, imagine if they're getting revenge on him for something like that, or something happened with that extra member. That would be a cool little narrative, because you have the superhero who's trying to still bring the bad guys to justice, but at the same time tell them like, hey, I didn't kill your friend. I think that'd be a very interesting story dynamic to see how he kind of tries to explain himself to bad guys, even though they're still bad guys and they should just go to jail anyway, right? It's like I said, just a thought, just a theory.
Let's have our brains blown for a second, though, Maddie.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be amazing if that was at the starting? So we see it at the ending, and he's like, you. And it's instead at the starting, and it's like another hero, and you can play two-player Spider-Man.
You know, mid-theory, I thought to myself.
I'd fucking kill myself,
yeah,
man.
Mid-theory, I thought to myself, huh, you know, this could be in the beginning of the game. And I want to say it is. It seemed kind of like, when I really think about it now, it did seem like an intro to the game, because I know for a fact it starts off with the Kingpin, Spider-Man arrests him. So this could be intro area stuff, because I think it was a big prison break, which means the villains are just getting out at that point in time. And if they're just escaping, that's not something that, unless he captured them, put them away, and then they're escaping again, I doubt that's something that happens mid to end game.
So, well, it's going to be a blockbuster title, but I'm going to tell you right now, if they were like, you know, a week ahead of time said, oh, by the way, this character you meet is fucking like the Hobgoblin or something, but he's a good guy because of this, or, you know, like some other character that can move somewhat like Spider-Man, but explores the world. People shit, dude, it'd be media. It would be a fucking explosion. Like if they were all, yeah, it's actually.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were just like, yeah, go play Green Goblin. Like you get to see the villain side of things. That would be tremendous.
Or even just if you guys were to, like, what if at the starting of that video, if you notice Miles and Jesus, what's her name?
Mary Jane
are talking to him, and Miles says, like, do you hold the, he said something, but that's when my audio was cutting. I said something about the mic. I think he was talking about cell phone or mic.
Like,
yeah.
Do you have a phone in there?
But imagine if all that was at the starting, because they've fucked with us before and put ending stuff at the starting stuff at the ending in a trailer, and instead you're both of those guys. Like, you're Spider-Man and Miles, and you can be both.
That's the thing, is that we've seen Spider-Man in action, we've seen Mary Jane in action, and now we know Miles is working directly with Spider-Man.
Yeah, true. We haven't seen him in action.
And he's been in trailers where the first gameplay reveal of Spider-Man, it ends with him with, like, the camera watching Spider-Man fly away.
Yeah.
And that was when people were like, oh, fuck, you know, can you play as him or something along those lines?
God,
so I think you're onto something with a little bit of an additional playable element coming in that no one knows about. Because I do remember someone from Insomniac quoting the trailer and saying, it's hilarious how exciting people are getting despite us hardly showing anything yet.
Exactly. I saw that's sort of where all this is coming from. Mm-hmm. Because now I get it. PR. So you have to assume some of this PR.
Yes, little extreme. But
they said that after they already showed a ton of gameplay. And so you're like, so hopefully they're not talking about fluff, like new suits, which we love, but that to me wouldn't cause a PR person to be like, dude, you have no idea. And it would be a coup, honestly, Maddie. This is a good fall for them to release this. All you got is Red Dead. And if Red Dead's going to have the microtransactions hovering over it, the online questionability, which I can't wait for that game. But imagine if you were Insomniac and you were like, dude, our big ace in the hole nobody even has thought of, which is not maybe try characters like GTA 5, but at minimum, you know, two of them. And we're not even telling people that you can, you know, do whether it be side missions or the same missions as another playable character with maybe some, because remember, they've played up all these suits, right? They've played up all of them.
The suits apparently have special abilities.
Exactly, which indicates that Miles or, oh my God, MJ. Mary Jane.
MJ, we'll shorten it for you
MJ.
Now.
Don't need special abilities as much as they could be like different types of Spider-Men, you know, or Spider-People, whatever you want to call it. It's probably way too much, but I was just like, It would be a coup. It would be a coup.
Normally, I would agree. I'd be like, that's too much. Probably not going to happen. But there is the unknown with Miles. We know he's a part of it now, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we know that it would be very strange if 2 out of 3 were playable. It just wouldn't make sense.
True. Right.
Could they be taking inspiration from Ultimate Spider-Man, where you were playing as regular Spider-Man and you have Venom on the other side?
GTA 5 has done it.
Yeah, more recently. Yep. I wouldn't put it past him just because also the suit abilities. They talked about how the Spidey Punk one has like a guitar you can take out and has a special ability. Every suit has a special ability. So if they're going to that length, which I also think is tremendous, mind you, because that's what I've always wanted. I thought they were just going to take the cosmetic route. Like, yeah, it's the original Amazing Spider-Man games by Beenox had a lot of suits, and they were cool to swing around in and fight him, but they didn't
offer
anything.
They were just the suit. Yeah.
Exactly. I'd love to see what happens if you have the noir costume on. Do you get special stealth bonuses? Do you get special stealth takedowns? Stuff along those lines.
I'd kill for that. That'd be so great.
Exactly, man. So I'm curious. I wouldn't dismiss the idea of that, is what I'm trying to say. Wouldn't dismiss
that. Yeah, me neither.
Well, we'll see, man. 7 weeks. Do you know that? 7 weeks.
Until Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
What fucking month are we in? July, right?
End of
what
July.
Day is today? What day is today? 19th, right?
20th.
20th, and Spider-Man is August when?
It's September 20...
Oh, September, okay.
September 9th, I think, or something like
September that. September 9th. It's insane, because again, I've tracked it differently, because I wasn't into it until you motherfuckers kept talking about it, and then I'm like, well, maybe I'll check it out, and now, and technically it looks so good and all that stuff, so, yeah, I mean, it just feels like a really cool... It feels like they're the one company out there that could surprise. Like, we don't see a lot of surprise. Not to be rude, but we don't. Not big surprises.
Mm-hmm.
They seem like a company that could say...
Because they're fun.
Because they're fun. And that is the thing, is they have fun with games. Like, so EA makes a game. It might be fun. But it's like you almost envision everybody working there not having fun. Or not considering games as fun, right?
Well, yeah, here's the thing, man. Is
those
that,
guys do.
Yeah, you look at... how much attention this game got out the gate. It was just Spider-Man on PS4. That's all it was. And it got millions and millions of views on YouTube, tons of interest. And they hadn't even shown shit yet. And then they show a little bit something, and that interest pretty much doubles. It's like, how much more do they put themselves in a position where it's like, okay, Spider-Man's a very popular brand. People will buy into it. The game looks awesome. How much do we truly need to show off when we have so many people buying into our product? We show off some of the open world at E3, we showed off Spider-Man, and they don't even know about this potential gameplay twist, late game or whatever, that adds a whole new element to the game. I think it's a really unique setup, and it's one that only out of a very small, specific amount of franchises could a Spider-Man game pull off with this kind of attention.
Yeah, I don't think there's another, other than a new Batman game.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like from those guys, to be honest, too, it would have to be from Rocksteady.
Yeah,
other than a new Batman game, there's very few. Superman would be met with criticism because of the difficulty of that character, but the one thing about Spider-Man that they've done a good job on is they've done a pretty good job with their PR and not achieving PR burnout. What I mean is, I'm not like, I'm done talking about Spider-Man. Instead, they do a little bit here and a little bit there. Imagine if they were like, hey, you know what? We're not going to announce co-op, or we're not going to announce maybe DLC with Miles or something like that. We're not going to announce it until like 2 weeks prior, because we don't want people picking everything apart. We don't want people. Instead, it's just like, here's a surprise for gamers, which I think only Spider-Man has that kind of support. Maybe a Deadpool as we get more of that stuff.
Yeah, it's got to be
very few superheroes.
I'd love to see the Flash, for example. I love
me
the Flash.
Too. Yeah,
love
me too.
Him, but I don't see it happening. I'd love to see Superman too, to tell you the truth. But
too
I don't
powerful,
see it happening.
Though, right?
It's
just, both of them.
I wouldn't even say, because here's the thing: is that in video games, sometimes part of it's just to live that power fantasy, right? So
true.
I wouldn't
say
too powerful is a problem. It's more so making it fit into a game world and having it make sense. How do you zip around a planet like Superman does, but fit it into a game? And if you narrow it down, how do you make sense of that to the player, where someone picking it up going, well, this doesn't make fucking sense. Superman does this and that. Why can't he do this? There would probably be this expectation of full destructibility, because it's Superman. If you punch someone, they're probably going through like 20 buildings. I think there have been many companies who have sat down and said, let's make a Superman game, and
I bet you
then just thought, technically...
And I bet you, Maddie, they were like you said, technically, that would be the thing, right? Like, you sit there and go, is the power fantasy going to play out across an entire title and be fun? I think you and I talked about it before. The only way you'd be able to do a Superman is if he hadn't learned to fly, if he only had the jumping ability, like he did in the movie, where he learned how to fly over time in the movie.
Yeah.
You would be able to basically do something like that. But overall, it's very difficult. And I think Spider-Man is considered by a lot of people. So Batman's considered amazing power ninja. Like, that's sort of the big thing for Batman. For Spider-Man, it's like goofy kid delivering pizzas. There's not many other groups out there that have such a fanfare behind the scenes for those archetypes. The ninja. Ninjas have always been cool. Yeah. Guess what? Tech's been cool. Batman is both of those. Spider-Man's also tech, because they said this is going to be the tech Spider-Man. So it's like Andy's sort of a ninja, the way he moves.
Yes.
But he's also the youth, the jokey. I just don't know of a lot of... I don't know of any... I mean, even Superman's too, like, I'm not going to joke. You know, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever seen Superman be like, oh, shucks?
Yeah, the best would probably be... I consider them superheroes. I don't know if anyone else does, but Ninja Turtles. I really just think...
Would be doable, you mean, in this kind of...
Absolutely.
I think Arrow...
I think they have enough tech. Big, but... Yeah, Arrow would be perfect, too. But I just think with the Ninja Turtles, you got enough tech. You know, they got their shell cycles. They got the shell trucks. They got...
Variety.
The variety there. You have gameplay styles right there with Raphael, more of a beat-em-up, up-close brawler kind of guy versus Michelangelo, who's speedy. You got the humor of the Turtles. You have an open world in New York City. You have ways to get around. I mean, there's so much lore to dig in from. There's a new, very popular IDW comic series, Ninja Turtles Universe, that's doing well. Draw from that a little bit. I think I'm stunned that it's been this long since we've seen like a I guess I'm forgetting about Platinum Games, so I should revoke my statement a little bit, but I'm stunned that it's been a while since we've seen someone legitimately take a shot at making a big Ninja Turtles game. Especially with how that license is incredibly popular, even how much it's been tarnished, it's still incredibly popular.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing, is like, you know, what's popular, what's not. I'm sure Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles could do it. And I think there's fanfare around that, but it just seems like Spider-Man, especially just looking at the views.
Yeah.
It has a bad game, but that was too long ago, right?
Mm-hmm,
like, it was long enough that you and I bitch about it, but neither one of us would, like, let's say, take that into a review or anything.
Oh, definitely not.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, pretty close. So I feel like
true.
People might take it in, but it would be one that I would like him to see. I just think, getting back onto Spider-Man for a second, I just think that if it was co-op, like you're both swinging around, it would be amazing. If it's a multi, you know, you could, if you wanted, you could choose another one, it would be amazing. But the cool thing about the game is I already feel like it looks amazing by itself. So what I mean is, if they don't surprise us, I'm not going to be disappointed, and I have to say,
it's not like it needs the surprise.
Yeah, I feel like it's already shown this is what it is, and it looks good. Not to be rude, but a lot of the stuff that I saw from E3 from some of the companies, and people are like, this looks like an amazing trailer. Looks like an amazing trailer. That's it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like a cool core game, and Spider-Man already looks like that.
Yeah, yeah, because it's kind of like what we were saying with Battlefront, where we're like, I hope they got this one secret here, because that's what would make it. Where with Spider-Man, it's like, this looks amazing, I'm getting it, I'm pretty confident I'm going to enjoy it. And if it has this, that's going to be like that over-the-top kind of thing. That's like, oh my god, this game's just over, it's beyond its limits now. But if it's not there, it's not like, you know, that's our expectations, that's our speculation, it's not going to factor into the game. So we'll see in 7 weeks how Spider-Man turns out. I'm very pumped for that one. Here's a bit of a surprise. Halo has no plans for Battle Royale. This article comes from GameSpot by Eddie. I apologize if I mispronounce your last name. Makuch? I apologize. Anyway, Halo developer 343 Industries has no plans to introduce a Battle Royale in Halo 5 or Infinite, it seems. Halo franchise manager Frank O'Connor said on Twitter that the studio is not currently working on a Battle Royale mode at all. That said, O'Connor pointed out that Halo 5 Forge's tools are absolutely robust enough to make a Battle Royale-style mode, though it would be impossible for it to accommodate 100 players like PUBG or Fortnite. We are not currently working on a Battle Royale mode, O'Connor said. If you want it, make a version in Customs with Illumination as a basis. Obviously, it'll be comprised in terms of size, but you can make something similar now. In another tweet, O'Connor said he has zero objection to Battle Royale as a mode. He pointed out that Battle Royale has been around long before PUBG and Fortnite, though it is more specific and focused these days. I'll tell you right now, the only BR we're interested in is the Battle Rifle, the original BR. So calm yourself, Easterlink said, according to Destructoid, during a live stream by 343. And yes, that wraps it up. So, in an era where we're seeing as many multiplayer games as possible, GTA 5 DLC, Call of Duty, obviously Fortnite, PUBG, you know, it's the era of Battle Royales, and one of the big first, and Battlefield, I apologize, and in an era with that going on, one of the biggest first-person shooters is saying, no thanks. Why do you think this would be the case, considering, if anything, Halo, I love Halo, Halo's one of my favorite series, but I can even admit, hey, this thing needs a shot in the arm, because it's not as prominent, as powerful of an Xbox brand as it once was. It's almost like a staple now more than anything. It's like, okay, yeah, we got our Halo game.
Yes, exactly. And like, so, it will for sure come.
Why do you think they've decided to forego something that could, I wouldn't say put it back on the map. Everyone knows Halo. Most people, I would say, enjoy Halo or like it or have tried it at the very least. So what makes you think that they said, we're okay with this and we're just going to do what Halo does normally?
Well, I honestly, I think that they're lying.
Okay.
So I should start there.
Okay.
I think that the only BR they're interested in is the assault rifle. You know, it's all sort of a funny tweet and everything. I don't think that we're going to see anything other than the expected. We will see a battle royale. I just believe they're going to call it something different. And it's going to be PR speak where they're like, no, it's called Infinite because you have infinite reserves. And anybody who joins can just join in at any time. I don't think there's any problem with putting Battle Royale if it works, right? And I think in a game like Halo, it could work tremendously well. If you had, you know, the Covenant and you had the Marines and you had all these different battles going on the different areas, I think it could work really well. I just personally don't believe them. I just think that they walk around it and that we will see something. The Infinite, what else could Infinite mean? Because, you know, this is Halo. They're not going to fucking...
Yeah, to skip six and go Infinite.
Yeah,
it's strange.
Exactly. They said, oh, we don't want to do the number, blah, blah, blah. Fuck off. Like, we know that shit is sort of bullshit most of the time. They think Infinite's going to sell, right, as a name. So to me, I just personally feel that we will see a Battle Royale. I mean, if we didn't, it would be like, yeah, I just see them changing the name. And we saw, what's the game that came out, like something Island? It's a shooter, a Battle Royale shooter that came out a couple days ago. Island of Nine, I think. SkillUp did a video about it. And good video, by the way. And I was watching that, and it's like 50 instead of 100. And I feel like that's how Halo is going to work. They'll be like, it's not Battle Royale. It's 45 people. And you're all, fuck you, right? Like, I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe I'm just being negative.
No, and I don't think you're being negative. I think you're entirely right. I think it would be a little bit foolish of them to do so. Now, on the other hand, though, I do like the idea of Halo saying, no, we're good because we're known for something and we don't have to follow trends to keep our name popular. You know, Halo, there's a difference between popular and something right. that's on the rise, really, you know, growing, where Halo's just kind of stagnant now. Like, you know it. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Are you going to buy an Xbox for it? Nowadays, probably not as much.
Yeah, right.
But they maybe are engaging that part of the conversation to say, let's see how the community responds. Are they going to be more like, thank God, every game has Battle Royale. I don't want Battle Royale. Or are they going to say, well, why wouldn't they do that? You know, and then they consider, well, let's do it. Because do we even have like a date on this game? All we saw was that trailer, and that was really it. You know, so it's like, this could still be a while out. That's just speculation on my behalf. But I do find it a little strange that they would hold out on Battle Royale. I am a believer that you don't have to do it to be successful, but I feel nowadays companies don't lead with their hearts. They lead with money on the forefront, and they know that Battle Royale is the place to make money. And until the point where it gets oversaturated and no one gives a fuck anymore, people will stop playing Battle Royale, and then we will wait for a new fad.
Yeah.
Just, man, the idea of, like, falling out of a Pelican and being completely empty-handed and finding, like, the Magnum from Halo. That is your first weapon. And, like, you're on this giant... I'm thinking, like, the first level of... Not first, but, like, once you land on Halo in the original combat evolved. Like, I'm thinking of that entire...
That's what I'm
area.
Thinking, by the way, when I was talking about fighting against others.
I'm thinking of that whole first area as a Battle Royale map, and I'm just like, that, 50 people in that.
And I just have a feeling they're gonna use the infinite. I don't know why, but they're gonna be using the infinite. They're gonna use it in some way, like in that way, where they're all, the reason why we don't call this Battle Royale is because it's infinite, like I said, some kind of infinite resources, some kind of infinite... backup.
People are endlessly dropping in the Battle
People
Royale.
People are endlessly dropping in. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
gotta
that's just the way
somehow.
I feel.
It's got to play out the
name. Yeah, agreed.
Well, I guess we'll see. But any other hopes for Halo? You know, because I like the Halo stories. Although 5 left something to be desired, at the end it actually picked up. So I feel like there's still more to do on that. So a little bit of relief there after seeing what Activision did of, like, fuck the story, let's go all in a multiplayer, which could be interesting to see how it pans out. But I personally felt a little relief when they were just like, maybe not for us. Do you hold that same feeling?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean, like, you felt relief that they weren't... That you felt relief that they weren't going to possibly go that route?
I want them to do what they feel is best for the game, because I feel like that's when the best work is created. But I also did feel a little bit of like, oh, okay, like, you know, because I didn't want them just to drop the Halo story. I know 5 ended on a cliffhanger. A lot of people were salty. I was like, okay, I'm salty too, but I feel they'll complete it in the next Halo game. And I want to see it completed. That's the thing. You know, I want to see them see it through.
Okay. So, yeah. That's the problem with Halo, though, because they did burn so many bridges with, like, Master Chief Collection, and the last game, I feel, burned a lot of people, because they were like, who's this guy? It's not Master Chief, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I personally feel that the way they could do well, there's two ways they could do well. One, they adjust the way their game works, and they do a Battle Royale game, well, also a single-player game, but something like that. Or the other way is to just do a full, still be able to do co-op, still have some multiplayer that we're used to, but do an insane single-player. But to me, I don't know. I like a lot of Microsoft's games, even though they're buggy. Like, I liked State of Decay.
Same.
Wasn't a fan of Sea of Thieves. But so I like Forza's looking good. So I don't know if I necessarily trust them to go against the grain, let's say, and do an amazing single player game. I don't know why. And I hope to be wrong. I hope that it is all that. But to me, it feels like they don't really know what to do with that, and what we're going to see is a single-player game. But the major crux of this infinite... I mean, how else do you sell infinite, Maddie? The wording.
You could
sell it as traveling around a procedurally generated galaxy, like No Man's Sky, and killing all the Flood in every complex or something. But what does infinite mean? What's infinite mean to you? To me, it means infinite gameplay. That's
the thing,
what the word means to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was my instant thought as well. It's, you know, it's crazy to think of. Imagine, like, Halo being open world, like you said, and you're just infinitely exploring that universe. I don't know, because I feel like they've had good ideas. Like, I thought I think it's called, like, the war mode in Halo 5. Like, how it was, like, big team battles and...
Yeah, big team battles.
And I thought that was cool. You know, so I feel like they got good ideas for the series and where they need to go with it. It doesn't change that I was awful at Halo 5. But, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where they go with this one, especially with no Battle Royale. It seems that they have a vision of their own. Maybe they're trying to craft out their own section of the internet, and kind of like how Battle Royale has. We shall see. Next bit of news. Microtransactions have been removed from Shadow of War.
Yeah, I saw that.
When the hell did this game drop, man? Like, what, last October or something like that?
Yeah, and boy, did it come and go, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, dude. That's why when I saw this, I was like, I actually might play it now.
Do you feel it came and went because of, like, Star Wars Battlefront 2, the microtransactions? Do you think that's why it came and went?
Like, I feel that Shadow of War came and went because it wasn't that amazing of a game, truth be told. I really think they didn't do what a sequel was supposed to do in Evolve. They just kept a lot of the mechanics.
Yeah, right.
The Fortress battle just wasn't enough to push people over and go, okay, that's why I'm getting it. You know, Middle Earth, what was the first one? Shadow of Mordor. Totally different scenario. We haven't seen a Lord of the Games. I can't speak right now. Fuck.
Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah, we've never seen anything quite like it. Nemesis system was fresh, brand new. Nothing like it. Combat. This is at a time where the Arkham combat was not oversaturated. I still think now it's not as bad because there's been a brief break from that. So at that time when you had hardly any games with the Arkham combat system and the one other game that did have it involved you cutting fucking orcs' heads off, I think it was just a really good mix that resonated with a lot of people, and especially people who enjoyed the movies, like myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Shadow of War, it came in, it's like, yeah, we got Nemesis system. It's like, okay. Yeah, we got this free flow combat. Okay. It's like, what's new here? And the Fortress battle thing, that is new. But like I said, was it enough? That's the big question for a lot of people. But also, there was the microtransactions that were really giving them trouble during their PR cycle. Instead of promoting the game, instead of talking about what maybe could have been new or used to discuss what's new.
They were stuck in the grind of discussion.
They were just stuck in constantly re-explaining themselves. Every interview with every developer, they'd ask the same questions, retread the same ground, but the big question, the big title of the videos or the articles would always be about what the developers have lately said about the microtransactions in the game. So now they're fully removed. I skipped the game originally. I think you did too?
Yeah, I played some of it.
Okay.
That was it.
Does it make you want to go back?
No, I would actually agree that. So I thought the first one was cool because of various little elements, but there were some other issues with it. But I liked the plan. Two, to me, man, the microtransactions, and it was just like you could literally smell the grind. I mean, they try. I don't know even what they were thinking. I would love to have been in the PR development and discuss how they thought what they were saying was ever going to play out well. And the game is already grindy. That's the problem. So it's a lot like a Mad Max. It's a lot like a Batman. It's a lot like any of those third person open world games where you know you're going to be defeating people to get unlocks, so forth. But they added their microtransactions fucking directly into it.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, they had a beeline, and they're all, let's aim for the gut on this one. And they did, and it caused me to just go, eh. And I could tell, even in the small amount of time I played, I say small, but it was like 20 hours, and it already felt like you could feel the grind, especially around the 20-hour mark, where it was like, things just took longer, like, than I felt that you could already feel it was
like
starting to change and adjust. Yeah, and you were like, oh, no, this is not exactly what I feel is going to be great at 40 hours or 60. And most of the people I talked to, not everybody, no, pretty much everybody. I think there was one or two that didn't agree with me, but most of them stated at the very end it was tremendous grind. If you wanted to, like, I guess I wouldn't say 100% it, but if you wanted to do well at the end. So.
Yeah, I had a friend who had loves Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and bought it, and he was just like, this is such a fucking disappointing grind at the end. Like, that's the thing. And there are such things as fun grinds. We had talked last week about when's the grind okay.
Right.
And there are such things as fun grinds, but when there isn't little goals doled out along the way and rewards and new things, it just becomes tedious, especially when it's just like the end goal is like get a little cutscene at the end of the game for the ultimate ending or whatever.
Well, it's a little bit like anybody who's ever dieted or let's say worked out. You got your green belt, I think you said recently in Taekwondo.
Orange.
I apologize. So let's say somebody's in martial arts or what have you, and they're just practicing, but they're never given a belt, or they're never even told how well they're doing until, like, their black belt. That would be a fucked up way. I mean, if they were not given any feedback. Yeah, and that's what a lot of gamers forget.
Good.
Yeah, or imagine trying to lose weight, but you're never able to look at the, you know, you may feel some adjustments, but there is no milestone, and milestones are incredibly important for people, so you can measure movement. Am I wasting time? I don't know how many games you've played where this has happened. It happens to me all the time, where I'll play a game and find out I am doing the inconvenient route. The route is not as maximized in, let's say,
you mean
EXP,
like,
or
there's
skills.
Like a way you can do it where you get like 5,000 XP every minute or something like that, and you're doing
something
that's like 5,000 XP every 15 minutes.
Exactly, and I don't necessarily absolutely need to be on the best route. But at least understanding that the route I'm on and where I'm going and how I'm getting there sort of feeds back, and I look at that time and go, that time was not wasted. With Lord of the Rings, there were multiple times in the first one, which I did beat, where I looked back and went, even back then, where I was like, some of this time was wasted. Like, it was just wasted in the grind. And it feels like the second one until now, where they have gone back and balanced it, which is also important. They not only remove the microtransactions, but they actually programmed in changes to the way things are given out. Where I was playing already in 20 hours and looking back and going, there wasn't an easy way to go, I'm doing this wrong. It was like, oh no, I may be doing this right. And that milestone may be pushed out farther than I think it should be, or that is worth my time. I just felt that way a lot when I was playing that game.
Yeah.
Also, the story was bad. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's
I
true.
I did not like that story.
I agree. Yeah, it's one of those games that I would look into, but I'm playing right now. Let me go through the list in my head. Octopath still. I started up Darksiders. I decided to cave in and try out the Dragon Ball FighterZ story, which I will say I am enjoying. Granted, it's because I love Dragon Ball. I love seeing the little character interactions. They're fucking awesome. They're funny as shit. Like Yamcha and Krillin talking about Krillin being bald and how it makes him look younger. Like, I think it's hilarious. Where I see this and I'm like, yeah, a little late. Especially because in the coming months, the Shenmue 1-2 remaster, Divinity on consoles, that game Brawl Out on PS4 just got a release trailer. And it's like a indie Smash game, and they include like Guacamelee, Hyper Light Drifter. I was like, this looks cool, man.
That looks cool.
So that's on my radar.
A mech game. I don't know if you saw that, but that they released a trailer last week, like City Smash Brawlers or something. But it's like almost like Virtual On, which was an old Sega mech game. But it's two mechs in a city just going to town, and
kind of like the Megazord battles in Power Rangers on the 64.
A little bit, and you can play four players. So one person can control the foot, one person controls another foot, and you try to figure out how to battle each other with eight people going against each other. Four-person control in one, like Voltron, but in really bad. To me, that kind of goofy stuff looks awesome. There's some really good games coming out.
Yeah, I agree. Like, this summer is definitely, for me at least, it's been eventful. And in terms of, like, stuff to cover and put on the channel and talk about, not as much, but for, like, things for personal enjoyment, like, oh, man, absolutely. So good.
Yeah.
Anyway. Last topic, new little segment I've decided to create just for people like myself. I actually, for this topic, or rather segment, Googled words that start with W. That's the effort I put in for this one. So it's called Weeaboo Whoppers. And pretty much what this is a smorgasbord of random Japanese news that I had encountered today, where I thought to myself, there is a lot of Japanese gaming news this week. Allow me to combine all of it together. You thought I was talking like regular Japan.
I was like, where are we diving in right now? Because like, he hasn't told me about this. So
I put
like,
in a Twitter message.
I didn't see it. Oh, I was there on the podcast. So it's like, I didn't know what the fuck he was rolling me into right now.
No, just pretty much it's a smorgasbord of all the Japanese gaming news. This week in particular, it's not going to be like a weekly thing. It's just that there's a lot that happened in Japanese gaming. And I was like, you know what? I'm interested in all this shit because I'm pumped about all of it. So fuck it. Let's talk about it and see if I can spread some of the love to other people out there. Because one thing I did notice is when I posted a picture of a lot of the packs I got for the Dragon Ball Super card game, a lot of people actually who are subscribed to me play it. So I was like, okay, we have some Dragon Ball fans here. let's talk, starting off with a little bit of Dragon Ball, especially because Carrick, I think you can get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, new Dragon Ball movie, got a trailer. It's coming out in December in Japan first. It is a Broly movie. So how much do you know about Dragon Ball out of curiosity?
Not much other than the names of the characters from the fighting games and, like, that certain guys are considered, you know, really powerful in the anime, okay, which is, of course, then different than the game, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I know a little bit about power levels and stuff.
Okay, yeah. Because I had found out, I was confused. So I text my friend Brian, who's a big expert on anime. I'm like, hey, man, I'm confused. Why are we seeing Broly again? Because this is called Dragon Ball Super Broly, the movie, or something like that. So Super means it's like,
amazing.
I know, right? Because Super means it's like the latest era of Dragon Ball.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at it saying, are they remaking the Broly movie? What's going on here? So I ask him, and he's like, apparently the movies previously were not canon, and that this one is canon. So it seems like Broly, this is like technically their first official encounter with Broly, which I was like, what the fuck, man? So, yeah, right? That's something coming out in December. I'm personally looking forward to it.
I'll play it, I'm sure.
Oh, no, it's a movie.
Oh, fuck, I was all excited. I thought this was like a new game.
But here's the thing. There is Dragon Ball FighterZ DLC that has Broly.
Okay.
First pack that came out for that. It was Broly and Bardock.
See, here's the problem with the show. So this is a movie, but I know this sounds really bad. You'll disagree. I have a very big problem with subtitles. So I like to listen to the English voice actors. The reason
That's not
why
wrong. I do the same thing with
okay,
this.
I have a difficult time because I'm constantly reading and looking up, and I find that my attention is broken. So what I like to do is just turn it on English, and I know people are just going to shit themselves, be like, the English voice actors on blah 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 suck. I know that people get that, but for me, it'll be difficult unless there's, I'm hoping right away there'll be an English version of this.
Yeah, because there was a Japanese trailer like the night before, and then the following, like 12 hours later, there was an English one. So I imagine
it's within
a month. We'll see.
Then I'll watch it for sure.
Yeah. Now, I'm with you on that. I get where you're coming from. There are certain anime that I will just watch in Japanese because sometimes the tone is what engages you more than anything, because Japanese voice actors just come at this work with like a fucking huge amount of intensity. They're supremely talented, where sometimes the, for example, Octopath Traveler, you know, it's even got I'm pretty sure I recognize this voice. It's got my favorite voice actor of all time, Yuri Lowenthal, in there. And even then, I'm not playing it on English because I played it on English during the demo. I played it a little bit afterwards, and it was just flat. Nothing about it had intensity. But, you know, when you amp up your attack with, for example, Tarion the Thief, you know, you get that really loud, like fucking guy's actually about to kill someone type of scream. And I don't know, it reels you in a little bit more. So I get where you're coming from, totally. And I have done that many times in the past. For those who really want to be disappointed in me, and this will even out the distribution of hate here, Carrick, I had watched up until the past like 5 episodes, I watched My Hero Academy in English all the way, which I think has a pretty good English casting, but a lot of people are just like, what the fuck, man? Japanese is way better. I get it.
Well, so I have a question for you then, and I know we're thinking about doing a slightly shorter podcast. So finish.
No, dude, go on.
But so here's the thing: I can't understand Japanese, so I don't know where the inflection is.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So I know what you're saying. If I'm watching, I think that would work because you're watching. You can see the guy freak out. So now you know the inflection is in this certain place. But because I know that there, for example, their language structure sometimes is reverse of ours.
Yes.
So So sometimes the circumstances where, like, let's say somebody freaks out might actually be freaking out about the bread and not that Maddie showed up.
Uh-huh.
Right. So like they're like, bread. And I'm like, bread? What the fuck? Like, why is everybody excited about bread? So that's what caused me. I used to watch because I'm a huge Robotech fan, Macross fan, so I was into that shit. A lot of the more obscure, I don't even know if they're available anywhere, mech cartoons when I was younger. And a lot of them were Japanese subtitles. And I would literally write out like this. I would watch a cartoon and I would write out what was being said. And then I would just watch it and then occasionally like look back and go, okay, I know what was being said at this point. I would almost have to watch it twice. I don't know why. I'm not good. I think it's because I listen to voices so carefully that when I started to see them not match up, and when they wouldn't match up, it would cause me to feel like I was confused about the entire thing.
Oh, yeah. It's something that demands... I think a subconscious focus that you're not really aware of, because I'd actually just yesterday, it was the first time I sat down to watch anime outside of My Hero Academy in a long while. And so I sit down, I'm watching in Japanese, and I'm just finding these sentences on the bottom are just flying by before I can even read them. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why am I not? Because I'm listening first, then trying to read. Right. And it's partially because I've been learning the language, so I'm used to hearing it first, translating in my head, then doing whatever afterwards. So my brain's wired in this way for so long, and then for the first time in a while I'm sitting down just trying to listen and read at the same time, because I'm used to just tuning out the words and
I can see
and
that.
Just reading the script on the, or the text on the bottom. But now that I'm able to understand some of it, I'm hearing some words, I'm like, oh, I know what that is, that's this, while at the same time processing that in the background is what I'm reading down below. Like, I get it, you know, that's the thing. It requires this focus that you don't really notice if you get too rusty with it. So there is the new Dragon Ball movie coming out this year, end of this year, rather. There is new Dragon Ball FighterZ DLC as well, a base Goku and base Vegeta. So for those who have not followed Dragon Ball FighterZ DLC path and the roster in general, allow me to tell you all the Gokus and Vegetas that are in this game. So you have Super Saiyan 1 Goku, Super Saiyan 1 Vegeta, Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Goku, Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Vegeta. You have Vegito. You have Goku Black. Now, in this DLC, you have base Goku and base Vegeta. And if you want to include in that family, Bardock, someone who also looks extremely like Goku, Goku's dad, and that's really it, that's 9 people who look or are related to Goku. And this is including, like, Gohan, his kid, and whatnot. But, yes, 8 Goku characters, and Goku and Vegeta characters. How fucking insane is that?
That's the thing, is it's so crazy, because I even have an issue with some of the names. So, like, when you were saying Goku, I had to go look it up and go, okay, which character is this?
Yeah.
And then, luckily, I had played the game, so I was a little bit more accustomed to it. But that's the thing, is it is just like any long franchise, bro, where the longer that fucking gets, it's like Kingdom Hearts, where you're all...
Ugh.
What the shit? Well, maybe not as bad as...
No, but honestly, with the multiple versions, like, if I've never played Dragon Ball, or I've never watched Dragon Ball...
Yeah, exactly. Like, Super is different than this, is different than that.
I totally agree. Especially when you look at the DLC, you're like, why is... It's confusing in general, because you'd think it's lining up with something, and it kind of is. The DLC path's running alongside the English version of Dragon Ball Super, which is still ongoing. It's finished in Japanese. So, there are people who, for example, were pumped about the DLC with Vegito and with Zamas fused, because that lined up with the anime that was ongoing in English. But all of a sudden now, you got 2 other versions of Goku, their base versions, like, no Super Saiyan, nothing. And people are probably looking at it like, what the fuck, man? Like, are these guys more powerful than X and Y that came out earlier? There's
this, it's always
weird
confusing
polarization. Yeah, it's fucked, really, when you look at it. And I just think that there are so many other characters to pull from. Apparently, this lines up with a leak where now they're probably next going to do Android 17 and what's-his-face Cooler. So that is good. Those are, like, new, fresh characters. But, I mean, they're leaving out characters like Raditz. Cooler has always been a requested one. But Jiren from Super, there's just so many other people you could take from. But they're doing version of Goku and Vegeta.
We see that every time, though, right? Like, almost every game or every TV show that we like, when it does do the next thing, they always skip. I mean, there's so many. It's fan service. Well, look at... it's the reason why I think you and I... Well, me, now that I think about it more than you, but I was really interested in Smash, the new Smash Brothers for the Switch, because they were just like, every motherfucker is here.
Yeah.
And to me, it's that one time where I don't have to have an argument if so-and-so can beat so-and-so, because I'm like, he's right there in the game.
Mm-hmm.
We can go see.
Okay.
Because I liked... So it just depends on how they handle the... how they actually go about handling the fiction and the IP. I don't mind them ignoring some people, but sometimes I wonder if, like, a company, when they're making movies, or when they're making games, somebody's popular and they think, well, let's not have him then. And you're like,
exactly.
That makes fucking dick all sense.
Yeah, I think we see it. For fighters, there's going to be a year two DLC that lines up more with the show. Yeah. Just because Jiren's way too big of a character to not add in. Yeah, absolutely. He's huge.
Who was the guy that they didn't have in I was talking about this in my review, because I was surprised. In Dragon Ball, they had to add him DLC, and you and me and Lone were talking about him. No, it wasn't him. It was the fact that they didn't really have any tanky characters. First.
Yeah, the only tanky character they had was Android 16, and he was busted.
You go. So you had this oddity that occurs that's then fixed with DLC, but personally, I think we agree that we would rather have that fixed when it comes out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you get that, too.
Yeah, and so they did add Broly, who was a bruiser character, so then you got, Nappa, Broly, N16, and 16 got nerfed, so...
How much?
I think his super armor, which is his B attack or his circle attack for those who play, is heavy. It used to go through pretty much anything. So you could nerf 90% of attacks coming your way with that and hit someone even though they shouldn't be exposed because they made the right choice. And I think with key attacks or something along those lines, it still hits him. So it makes him much more vulnerable. But now Broly has a quarter circle forward triangle that you can fucking throw a freight train at this guy and the motherfucker's not stopping, and he just grabs you and drags you to the other end of the arena and puts you in the corner. So a lot of people online, as someone who still plays Dragon Ball FighterZ a lot,
not
guy will
fan
drop
of that.
In quarter circle triangle and he'll just try to grab you, put you in the corner, because the last place you want to be in a game like that is the corner, because that's where people just fucking beat you down. They're either hitting you high or low and they'll fuck you up. It's just it's that simple. But yeah, that's the new DLC. For those who are actually curious, Base Goku has a cool ability that's much different from any other character in the roster. It kind of works apparently like X-Factor in Marvel vs. Capcom, where as teammates get KO'd in the battle, Goku's Kaioken powers up. He comes in stronger, apparently. So there is this unique mechanic to him that no other character in the game has. So that does make me a little more excited.
I would actually like a game where that happens all the time, Matty.
Mm.
Balance is probably fucked now that I think about it. But it would still be sort of cool if, in most games, if you have a battle, the big thing is battle. 3 against 3 or what have you. Like, if this dude dies, then, the next guy has an extra special or something. Just something that can, I don't know why I even, now that I think about it, I guess balancing would be almost impossible on that.
Yeah.
But it would be cool. It would be cool to see a title try it at least, because I do think that the battle thing is sort of done. Mm-hmm. They're all, okay, you got 3 people, which we were all impressed with the first time, Marvel versus Capcom or whatever in the arcade, when you were choosing 3 people and you're like, I can beat 3 people, that's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
But that's really all we've stated since that point. There hasn't been a big holy shit, now it matters.
5 or something like that.
Yeah, 5 or something. So it'd be cool if they did figure out a gameplay mechanic to augment that mechanism past the 360
days. I get what you're saying.
I don't know what it would be.
I think what it would probably be is something like NetherRealm doing something where...
True.
Did Marvel vs. DC, was that the one that had 2v2 or something like that? Just seeing them try 2v2 of some kind would be interesting.
Mortal Kombat versus whatever, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
I played that 1 or 2 times.
Even
remember.
When I was younger, I knew it was a bad game. Or not bad, but I didn't like it that much, but I just played it a fuck ton because it was just
I know
a
cool bunch of people
mashup.
Who did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool idea overall, for sure.
Exactly. But yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ DLC, the Switch version's coming September 28th, for those who are curious about that and want to play on the go. I know I'm personally picking it up. And the last bit of news, I was just talking about My Hero Academy, and there is a new game that I'd actually talked about on our episode with Fightin' Cowboy about My Hero One's Justice. I said this is now one of my most anticipated games of the year because it's very true to the show. It's also incredibly current with the show, and it adds a lot of cool mechanics, and they just released a features trailer where they show off pretty much all the modes and stuff in the game. And for a fighter, I was impressed because there was a story mode that shows not only the hero side of things, so Izuku's story and his friends, Izuku Midoriya is the main character, by the way, but also the villain side of things, which is something that, after playing Injustice 2, I had really appreciated getting that perspective, that additional content, especially with how they are almost doing a Persona-like approach to the presentation with the game, because it's a My Hero show. It's about going to a superhero school and becoming one. It's very comic-styled, and a lot of the HUD represents that. So you'll see comic panels in the cutscenes and comic scripts. Very very cool, yeah. I really like their approach to that. There's a mission mode with challenges, which is, once again, something I really love, especially since Mortal Kombat 9 with the Challenge Tower. So I love seeing mission modes in fighters. There is a customization thing akin to Tekken 7, more recently than anything I can think of, where you can just deck out your fighter with whatever you want. And I think that about... that you can battle online, of course. That about covers all the bases, though. That drops October 26th, I believe, and that's on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. Once again, that's one I'm particularly excited about.
What's cool is something you said, because I don't know this anime at all, but something you said that interests me is you said it's current with the current fiction that's like in the anime. And I cannot tell you how upsetting it is when you play a game that is not. So if you a movie-style game, a fucking... It doesn't matter. Whenever I start... Attack on Titan 2 did a terrible job on this with matching up the exact time frame.
Yes.
One was fine, but two was like, they lost their fucking minds. I have no clue what they thought they were doing. Yeah. I think, one of the first ones to alert me to that, because I didn't get a chance to review it. And then I went and checked it out. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? It was very disappointing. And so to me, anytime they're like, listen, and I get that it's difficult because you have to time your development in a weird way.
Yes.
But I love the idea, because I also feel that there's a chance that if that happens, I have a higher chance of checking the anime out, because I can't, for example, Dragon Ball, there's 80 fucking versions. So it's like I have to.
Yeah, and there's like hundreds of episodes to invest yourself in.
Exactly. But something like this, whether maybe they do a cutscene that's starting to tell you everything or whether they don't, I at least feel like it's current. So maybe you and I, when we talk, I won't sound like such a dumbass when I say, blah, blah, blah is cool. And you're like, dude, he's dead.
I will say that if you're interested, I wouldn't watch a features trailer because there are show spoilers there. But what I can say is, as a very big fan of the show, it's pretty much lining up with exactly with where the show's at this point in time. Like the beginning of this trailer I'm talking about was based off an episode that just aired, I think, 2-3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Wow.
Tops.
Yeah, see, like, that's unheard of. Almost.
That level of currency. Yeah, it was like I saw it and I said, no fucking way. You know, it was tremendous to see, because, like you said, you've never really seen something like that. So as a fan of the show, I mean, put it this way, they even have things in the game that have yet to be revealed. I won't spoil what, but there is something with a certain character that I was playing on the E3 show for. I did a super move, and I learned something about a character I kind of wish I didn't know. I was like, holy fuck, man, like, this is dope. I can't wait to see how it plays off in the show. So they're that ahead, where that's probably many episodes down the line.
Right.
And, oh, man, dude, I just... can't wait. I can't wait.
It's very cool to see. Hopefully, I know it'll be hard, especially because some movie and TV show companies don't have their own developers. But I would love to see more of that occurring, where things sort of match up in the world and stuff like that. I would kill for that. As a matter of fact, to me, it's sort of the de facto. Unless you're doing a prequel. Prequels are also fine.
You have content restriction like Attack on Titan 2, where... They literally took the whole first game and its story, and that was about 25 of the 30 missions, and the last couple of missions were about what happened in Season 2. It was really, really fucking disgraceful, honestly, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. That's bothersome.
And so that's why I'm really happy that, you know, My Hero Academy, it's pretty new. And I was thinking, like, when the game was first announced, like, okay, it's probably going to be like a 15-character roster. It's going to cover, like, the first season and a half.
Right.
But the fact that they're all the way into Season 3, they got all these characters, minor, obscure ones to major ones, fucking awesome, really. It has me excited, especially because it's like a 3D. Anime Fighter, which kind of reminds me of one of my favorites, Clash of Ninja, the Naruto games. As a kid, I adored those. So I'm particularly pumped on that one.
I'm actually more of a fan of the 3D games if you're doing superheroes or doing even more so than Injustice. Like, I loved Injustice 2, but
it feels limiting in a way.
It feels limiting. And you're talking about guys who fly and everything, and you can see that in their cutscene special. But to me, I don't know why. I just love the idea of big open battles. And what's the 360 one I reviewed? Oh my God, I always forget. The Dragon Ball. It was 3D.
Is it a really bad one?
No, it was Xeno. Was it Xenoverse?
Raging Burst?
It was the one like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, Xenoverse.
So it'd been like,
sorry.
What, maybe the original. I think that one was 3D.
Xenoverse was 3D, yes. Sorry, and it was I was thinking far back.
No, that's all right. And it was one of the first ones where, like, because a lot of 3D, there's not a lot of 3D fighters, unless it's that kind of stuff. And they did it, and I was really a fan. And then Dragon Ball, the new one, came out, and they were like, it's 2D. And I was all, I actually found myself going like,
really?
Yeah, because
once I saw that art style, I was in.
Well, okay, no, art style for sure, but it does feel like I constantly want to step in. For example, Virtua Fighter, when it first came out, didn't really have a sidestep move, and once they added it and you could sort of twist, it was like my brain exploded. I was like, oh shit, there's a other dimension. And so I'm not saying I don't like them, because I really like The Last Dragon Ball. It's just that I do feel at times contained.
No,
where I'm
I
like,
get what you're
fuck,
saying.
I because, want out of this.
You know, I've been playing a lot of fighters lately, and I've mainly been bouncing between Dragon Ball FighterZ and Tekken. And when I play Tekken, it's really nice to double tap down and like sidestep towards the screen and like dodge someone and be like, holy fuck, like I can actually move this way to avoid someone's strike instead of just holding back to block or jumping above them. You know, it's nice to have that additional element of to and from. Hey, so I get what you're saying.
I have a question about Tekken. When you're playing it, do you feel that the collision detection is pretty good for when you're sidestepping in the attack? Because Virtual Fighter 2, 3, 4 were pretty good, but it got really loose. Mm. So you would step, and the person's kick wouldn't really hit you, but the game would pretend it did, even though technically their foot's here because you jumped in. Do you feel Tekken's...
I think... maybe a hot take, but I think Tekken's got some of the best. And there's one reason I say that, is because... if you and someone you're fighting strike at the same time, let's say we're both hitting low, the game slow-mos and zooms in on both your legs going in for the kick, and it shows frame by frame who strikes first. So I think it's got some of the best, because they show right there in slow-mo, like, oh, his foot hit right here, but your foot was like a hair away, but his hit first. So I think Tekken, has some of the best.
Nothing infuriates me more than like a sidekick hitting me when I'm angled completely off. And unfortunately, my favorite game, which is Virtual Fighter, the last one was really lenient with that, and it was happening all the time.
It really
pushes me away. I'm going to be honest, I stayed away from Tekken because I thought it was going to be bad, so I'll
I love Tekken 7. Okay. I think it's a very fun fighter. A little, I wouldn't say light on content, but light in the terms of a single player story is like 4 hours, and it's not good. If you're buying it, like, you should just play online, play the survival battles, dick around in the mission mode, dick around in the practice mode. It's not very like content rich. It's just it's a very sound fire as far as
how
I'm
many
concerned.
Fighters would you say 30s? And you're
gotta
you're
be 30, gotta be
30, 40.
Yeah,
I know the creative characters. Pretty
yeah,
robust.
That's there too. It's pretty deep. I like that a lot. It's a tremendous fighter. It was in my top five last year. I really like Tekken 7.
Maddie, did you feel that Mortal Kombat or Injustice was missing something because you couldn't create your own superhero like I did? Or did that not bother you at all? I was so disappointed.
I just, my biggest gripe, and I feel like I repeat myself a lot with Injustice, is always the
projectile.
The projectile shit, man.
Every time I mention it, you're like,
I just, it's. I don't know if it's a design flaw, if it's fair enough to say that, because it's constantly abused.
Yeah.
So whose fault is it if the developer doesn't realize it, right?
Yeah, right. Theirs, by the way.
Yeah.
That would be my answer.
I would say so, but some people have told me before, they're like, Maddie, why don't you just burn roll out of the corner? It's like, I shouldn't be getting fucking sniped across the screen by Deadshot a million times where I need to burn roll to get to him. You know, I feel like that shouldn't be such a powerful move. Like, there should be a... because, for example, in Dragon Ball Super... or not Super, Dragon Ball FighterZ, like, one of your best moves is your heavy, because if someone's dashing at you, if someone's key blasting, your heavy just cuts right through it, and you start a combo right off the bat. It's a, gotcha. A wonderful
yeah,
move.
For sure.
But if you whiff that, you're wide open. That's the thing. And it's like, I feel like if you're taking a knee and shooting a weapon from across the stage, there should be that, like, one, two, three, like, readying up, where...
I'm also under the opinion, dude, that they need to start figuring out with projectiles, like, can you do it a ton of times? Like, do you have a thing where you can only...
You gotta reload. Project-
yeah, or...
Like, that would make sense. It's a plausible
energy
fix.
Being built back up, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Because I also would agree that you can work it out, and you can figure out a way to get close to them. You can. But do you really want a game where... Like, you know that's what's going to happen every time, because mm-hmm. that is the only way. Do you really want a fighting game where the only way is this? Now, I'm sure some people watching are going to be like, what the fuck? Blah, blah, blah. That's totally fine. But I think overall, most would agree that like projectile spamming and stuff, it would be nice if a developer looked and said, okay, we're going to make it so you got to get up close and personal. You know, you have to touch them. So you only have 3 fireballs from Sonya. You only have... to get over here is from Scorpion. Fucking Scorpion. My God, I hate that move. I hate even hearing him, get over here. I fucking hate it. So I would love to see that. I don't know if Mortal Kombat would ever do it, because I think that's their shtick. But yeah,
I think certain moves are fine, but it's more so like the obsession, the clear obsession with certain characters like a Sub-Zero or Scorpion, and how they right. are so, at the end of the day, obviously better than everyone on the roster. Yeah. And that they have moves that can be gypped. I think there's this bias towards them, which makes the game ultimately in a competitive environment not fun for me to want to get involved right. in. I don't care. I watch plenty of Tekken online. I watch plenty of Dragon Ball Fighters online. I don't care about NetherRealm Fighters as much as I used to anymore.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
But that is it for our Weeaboo Whoppers segment, something that maybe we'll do again in the future. We'll see. But that's actually all the news we've got this week. We wanted to try a little bit of a shorter episode. This time around, we're looking about 40 minutes, half hour shorter than we normally do. We just want to gauge out some stuff, see the retention, see how many people check us out, that type of stuff. Because now's our time to experiment before the very busy fall. So we'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah,
here's
you like
what we're going to do.
Podcasts,
yeah, or? We're going to do this, I think. 2 hashtags this week. Tag us on screen if you think too short, hashtag too short.
Sure.
If you think the older podcasts were too long, hashtag it too long. Let us know. That way we can see it and kind of gauge off through yeah. that hashtag alone. And then feel free to add any feedback in general. What you guys thought about the episode. Just because, like I said, we're trying to improve here, do what we can to make the show better and more enjoyable for you guys. As someone who listens to a lot of podcasts, I know that sometimes the hour and 10 minutes threshold is pretty convenient, and we definitely sit around closer to 2-hour range. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and let us know. Carrick, any final words?
No, I would agree. I think it's like, this is the amazing time where, and I just got some shit on my channel where people are like, I can't believe he's playing like Pool Panic or whatever. Where are the big games? And I'm like, exactly. Where are the big games? They're not here right now. So it is a time to test things and sort of see what works. And and to me, I think the podcast, even more so than the normal Bethesda stuff you do, podcasts, most of them are consistent. They may not all show up, but it's like, what we need to know sometimes is like, does the title, oh, that's one thing we were talking about. Yeah. Like,
yes.
You know, I would love some feedback on like, what do you want in the title? Mm-hmm. Like, cause that would help Maddie figure out like, okay, does he point out just Bethesda stuff, which would be weird, but it's like, what do people actually want in the title? So they know what causes you to click it to go, this is, you know, cause I mean, I don't think he wants to put best episode ever. Like that would be weird.
But it's it actually happened.
Yeah,
to find out.
If we knew, oh my God, you'll be shocked if we knew what people want to click. Same thing happens on my podcast where I'm not 100% sure, but I know people do click things more often when certain like things are talked about, and it would be nice to know what those are so we know how to trigger you to want to watch it.
Exactly. It's more so, what news do we want to prioritize, cover?
Yeah.
We usually have a list of news. It's like, what do we want to have our headline be? What do we want to have be our primary focus? It's up to your feedback to help us gauge that. You know, for a good portion of you guys, we know what you're into. When there's a new RPG, that's probably going to be our headliner, but at least on my channel. But we'd like to hear from you guys what you're looking for. more than anything. That's why we're trying, sure, like, the Weeboo Whoppers. Like, we're like, fuck it, let's throw some Japanese gaming news in there. Let's see how it holds out. Let's make our main focus the Spider-Man trailer. See how that goes. And we just like to hear from you guys. So, those hashtags, too long, too short, let us know. Or just right. We can even add a third one. Just right. So
yeah,
let
true.
Us know.
Yeah, yeah. People have liked them. So.
Yeah, definitely. All right. We'll catch you guys in next week's episode. Peace out.
Peace out.